panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Fluffy dog, bought myself some fairy floss and sat down on a log, listening to the big old coming over the PA. I watched the sideshow Connies lean against the rides. I jumped up on the dodgems, steered them to the side, with hooded eyes like lizards underneath their rebel hat. Play the car and the ghost train that grabs a girlfriend's hair, and the tunnel air of the skull gives the kids a scare. Heavy working arms covered in homemade tats. There's a sucker born every minute, that's a fact. A sucker born every minute, that's a fact. Sat down in a caravan late the same night, smoking bongs and drinking Bundy till the morning light. Photos of rods, it's an ass on a cupboard door. A cat called Weasel showed me how it's done, with a heated needle and some ink, swig of booze for fun. Wipe away the blue blood with a cotton ball. There's a sucker born every minute, that's a fact. You gotta be in it to win it, that's a fact. Curiosities, no Siamese twins, no midgets, no mermaid from Fiji, no hairy boy from India, no edifying melodramas. But he carries a reminder, tattered on his skin, of every girl he's ever loved and every hole that he's been in. And he don't owe the world a thing, ain't he the cat's pajamas? There's a sucker born every minute, that's a fact. You gotta be in it to win it, that's a fact. Oh, yeah.
CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples, and we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander First Nations people here today, and we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded, always was. Always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I am your host for this show called Out of the Pan, which, as the name kind of sort of suggests, covers pansexual issues, all knowing no boundaries of sex, gender, musical genre, all sorts of things, and seriously covering queer issues. And there's lots of ways to get in touch with the show. You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com, SMS 61456751215, Twitter Mastodon Blue Sky, and Instagram @SalGold said so, and that's the bottom line. And look for posts on Facebook, my page Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Thanks to the crew from Out of the Blue diving deep for the marine news, although make sure you swim carefully today in these gusty conditions if you are in the bay. If you're in the pool, hopefully it won't make a difference. And always lots of great marine information and people interested in marine life, as per Pete's guest today. And don't think there'll be any content warnings today. I'll cover them if we need them. Two guests on the show today at 12:30. I'll be catching up with Ro Bright from Tilda, the Trans Film Festival, which comes up in a couple of weeks, but coming up in a few weeks, and I wanted to get her in immediately, and she is sitting across from me in the 3CR studios, of which she is very, very familiar, Maria Bologna, to talk about the LGBTIQA Multicultural Fair Day. Maria, welcome to 3CR. As you say, no stranger.
Thanks, Sally. Lovely to see you again.
It is good to see you. You've got this great event coming up in a few weeks, and I wanted to get you in now, the LGBTIQA plus Multicultural Fair Day. I think a good place to start might be actually where it's happening, because then I think we can then say, well, what's brought it about in the area that it is happening?
Sure. It's happening in Thomastown this year. This is the third in a series of many LGBTIQ Multicultural Fair Days. So the City of Whittlesea, through their community grants, have funded the event, and it's happening in Thomastown. It's happening at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, which is located at 36 Barry Road, Thomastown.
Well, that sounds like a logical place to have the Barry Road Community Centre, but it's obviously very important to you, in all seriousness, that it's happening in the north. There seems to be an important need for that activity. Let's just, for our listeners' sake, get that onto the record. In your words, is that about?
Sure. The reason I chose Whittlesea, so the first one was in the city of Darabin, where I live. Yeah. And the second one was in Marybeck, across the street from where I live is Marybeck City Council. That's why that was the second one. And Whittlesea, I have very strong connections with Whittlesea. I was a youth development officer in the former city of Epping, and my niece and family live within the city of Whittlesea. In particular, my niece, a young woman who doesn't identify within the acronym but is married to her wife and is open about her sexual identity but doesn't come to any mainstream events.
Yeah, now there's an interesting point. I'm not going to ask about your family member in this case, your niece, but we get into getting towards the gist of this as to what brings about the need, perhaps, for an LGBTIQA plus Multicultural Fair Day, and I suppose the question comes to mind is I remember going way back to the wonderful Australian GLBTIQ multicultural conferences that started in the way back now in the 2000s down at St Kilda Town Hall. There was, it seemed, and I'm going to be careful, for lack of better words, more Anglo type of community seemed to be progressing. And I deliberately want to underline 48 font, the word seemed to be progressing more in their positivity towards LGBTIQA+. And, of course, I don't want to generalise either. There were lots of supportive family members there and all that sort of thing. I remember the fabulous Cynthia Ambrosio, her dad spoke, and it was, you know, like a call sort of thing. But what's happening with this now, in terms of, is there still any variation? If so, how much between what we know about attitudes within multicultural communities? And I suppose it leads to the question, variation within various multicultural and multi-faith communities.
Right, that's a multi-tiered kind of question.
So it is
I'll start with my lived experience, because I can only talk for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm a Greek woman who's always been very proud to be a lesbian from Lesbos. The way that I navigate my way in the world is very, very different, say, as to somebody who might be of Anglo-Celtic background. There's a certain privilege involved with being Anglo-Celtic. And I think mainstream events that are seen and experienced through an Anglo-Celtic kind of view is very different for a person who navigates their way as a person of colour.
Yep.
So people ask me, oh, what are you? What are you? You know, at school I was asked, what are you? What are you? And I started here at 3CR the first lesbian young women's program called the What Are Yes. I was slapped across the face, spat between the eyes, and asked at home from my very, very fundamental Greek mother, are you one of them? And I said, can you unpack that for me? She goes, you know, one of them, a lesbian. I said, yeah, considering you're born in Lesbos and you identify as a lesbian, a person of Lesbos, not necessarily lesbian sexual identity. I said, yeah, I'm a lesbian. And yes, I like women. Or I was born loving women. How do you know? You're 16. You've never had a relationship. I said, how did you know you were heterosexual?
Wow.
Anyway, she said to me, go and get help. Get normal. Otherwise, get out. You're not welcome under my roof.
Mm.
So I packed my overnight bag and I got out. Because at home, I was just simply going through the motions. I was never going to be a Greek girl. You know, I was parenticised. I was the firstborn, had to look after my siblings, worked in a milk bar, you know, was sort of the emotional backbone and I suppose the strength of my mother, who was in a domestic, violent and very abusive relationship,
uh-huh.
A marriage, you know, by proxy, arranged, nothing unusual. Many other Greek girls and boys, males and females, and in between, you know, people who don't identify, who are gender fluid and so forth, have experienced the same thing. My experience wasn't different. My experience wasn't unique, but what I did with my experience was unique, because when I got kicked out of home, I stopped being a person who was just, you know, a dead person walking and a person just going through the motions. I found my community, I found my family of choice, and I found my voice, because at home I was silenced.
Yeah, in many ways.
You know, and I got out there and I was the activist, and I wrote, you know, co-wrote the Little Blue Book for Girls, and that was a spin. My friend from school, who sort of identified and mostly sort of trans, we turned it around, you know, instead of the Little Pink Book for Girls, it was a Little Blue Book for Girls, and it hit the front pages and it got banned from all the schools because we had a chapter on sexual preferences. In those days, it wasn't sexual identity.
Yeah.
It was sexual preferences, and we dared to talk about homosexuality. We hit the front page. Our book was a bestseller. A Youth Affairs Council of Victoria gave us more money, and we did the Little Blue Book for Girls too.
Yeah.
Jenny Powersacker wrote a book. She called me in and she said, can I write about What Are You? Because we had the first young women's support group, City of Brunswick, and all the amazing women, the lesbian women who worked there, like Di Otto and Mira Robinson and Billy Clark, they supported us, and we ran the first lesbian women's support group. You know, there was a lot of firsts, and I felt like myself. I felt this, like, wow, free, wonderful woman who had her life to live and dream, whereas at home I was a dead person walking. I really was. You had to just do what you were told, pretend to be a good Greek girl, which I've never been and never will be, very proudly so to say. Maria Katsonis wrote this wonderful book called The Good Greek Girl. So the pressures from your culture, from your enforced religion, your Greek orthodoxy, and your community is quite large. And I understand people who don't want to rock the boat, who want to be safe and they want to be comfortable. But I wasn't at home in my own home. I was a stranger. You know, I was the rainbow sheep of the family. The other kids, my mother said, were normal. Why can't you be normal like your brothers and sister?
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's a lot in there. Three things. First of all, really, I'm sure you've done it before. I will honour your vulnerability and authenticity in sharing that because it's not easy. Second, for listeners, if there was anything distressing in that, please contact QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1800 184 527. And also, if there's family violence issues, 1800 542 8474. That line, Rainbow Door, 1800 729 367. You raise a lot of issues in there about, you know, expectations of patriarchy and parenthood and so many things in there. And whilst that is your story, I think there'd be lots of themes that people of perhaps many multicultural, multi-faith backgrounds could, with which they could identify. And I think that therefore brings us back to, you know, so authentically and passionately put why we need a LGBTIQI+ multicultural fair day.
Okay, so these events came about. I was a carer for my mother who has a rare cancer. And through COVID, becoming a carer was became very difficult because there was no respite and you kind of were trapped in a home with a parent who had increasing needs and refused to accept those increasing needs and refused to accept more care in terms of aged care package. I had a meltdown, to be quite honest.
Fair enough.
The pressure just got so bad, especially after I had my COVID shot. I had adverse effects and it affected my health. So I couldn't do the caring, the level of caring that I had done for 5 years. And my mother said, I'm going to dub you into Centrelink. You're hopeless. You do nothing. You're lazy. Get up. Get out of bed. And the more she said that to me, the more I shut down. And to the point where I walked into my bedroom one day and stopped talking. I stopped eating. I stopped basically for 8 months. I didn't go to the backyard, to the front yard. I switched my phone off. My friends were incredibly worried about me, but I was that tired that I didn't have anything left. I was spent. So I went into my bedroom and I started writing my memoir and reading back on my adventures and my resilience and everything that I'd done. I found my voice. I wasn't speaking. I lost my voice. I had to learn how to speak again. And in that time, in my head, I developed and these events were born. Because I thought, how do I give a voice to people? Like, I've lived long and hard and I've fought, you know, I've fought local government for my redundancy. I fought Greek organisations. They bullied me through marriage, the marriage equality, and silenced me. And I've won. I've got that kind of spirit. And I understand it's too much for a lot of people and I understand why they don't do it because it's really hard. Mm. Like I said, I had a meltdown. I stopped living to the point where I almost died. But the way that I found my voice was I dreamed up these events because I wanted to bring all the organisations and services that I'd ever used and showcase them for people who wouldn't dare, one, go into them because they were too, you know, rainbow, too LGBTIQ. Mm-hmm. They were too mainstream. They were too white. They were too visible. I wanted to bring together people in neighbourhoods so that they could find their family of choice. That saved me. And I wanted to bring that. These events take 8 months to do and usually I get paid nothing for it. And people say, why do you do it? I do it because they save lives. They saved my life. And in year one and in year two, I had trans people from, you know, so sort of Iran and Iraq come up to me and many other countries and say, you know, thank you so much. Hug me. Thank you so much. You don't understand what this means to us. In our country, we will be shot dead seeing in a place like this and just identifying our being trans and who we are. Thank you for making us feel proud of who we are. So I do this because it saves lives. It saved my life and it'll continue to save other people's lives. And I want to show people that family of choice is really, really important to us or to people that don't have family of origin and how that helps you navigate your way through the world in a much kinder, respectful and honourable and celebratory way.
Wow, absolutely awesome, Maria. I mean, I'm just sitting there taking in everything you're saying. It's quite amazing and, you know, sort of says why we need this so that people can be their whole self as much as possible, safely as much as possible, and find this, if they need services or just or community or anything, just be themselves, because we all know it's, when you can do it safely, it is easier and healthier to be yourself. I'm just looking at the fly here. There's a heck of a lot of great activities and things and things what are happening at the Multicultural Fair Day. Tell us about some of the things you've got planned. And, well, we may have another one planned very amazingly as of 3CR 15 minutes ago, TBC, as they say.
Yeah, so the whole idea is for us to come together and have fun and for information stalls, so services, key sort of, you know, stakeholder services to come together and to represent their organisation through a multicultural lens. So I ask organisations to send their people of colour, the staff of colour, to actually run these information stalls so that participants can go up to the stall and, you know, take a pamphlet if they want, ask some questions if they want, and if not, just walk on by. So there's that element, that there's, you know, maybe 10 organisations that come along that showcase what they do, so that, like I said, so that we bring the information, or I bring the information to the people. And then there's the fun stuff, the taster workshops. So I come from a youth development sort of LGBTIQ professional background. I'm an arty-farty kind of person. I love to play. So let's bring in the fun stuff. Doyle, really great friend of mine, he runs the Blender Studio, best street artist in the country. He runs a street art workshop. An amazing African gentleman called Ode, he runs an African drumming workshop. Karen, she has a business that she specialises in microherbs, but she won't be doing microherbs. That's way too general specialist. She'll be doing a general workshop around growing seedlings, like growing things like basil, cherry tomatoes, things like that. Recycle fashion workshop, that's really my baby, but Alex from AGMC is a fashion designer. He'll be facilitating that, and we'll have a mini fashion parade with the participants' outfits. There'll be performances. So Sasha is a Malaysian Muslim trans woman. She will be emceeing, and she'll be doing a performance. And I will be, instead of giving a speech this year, Sasha and I wrote a performance piece for the Midsummer Festival, and so we'll be both performing that. The African drummer will do a little African drumming set, and like I said, the Recycle Fashion Parade, and then there'll be food by Nina's Cucina, who are a business that's run by two gay guys in Epping, and the food is just absolutely spectacular. So it's a whole come and try and showcase, be amongst other people of colour. It's really spot the Anglo at these events. It's kind of interesting and funny because it's the coin's flipped, and it's in a venue that's set back from the main street so that it gives that added sort of safety for participants. And it has a very high trans kind of representation, interestingly enough, these events.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. No, that sounds very awesome, of course, from my point of view, but we're well aware of what trans people are experiencing at the moment, yeah, around the world, and the anxiety that is there.
It's free. It's really free.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a free event.
It's a free event.
That's really important. The on-site parking, so yes, people that want to drive, in terms of people who want to get there by public transport. It's a little bit more complex. You go to the Thomastown train station on the South Morang, on the Mernda line.
Oh, well.
And there's buses that go nearby. I don't think there's a bus that goes right past Barry Road.
Yeah. So, yeah, as it says here, the 554 or 557 is my eyesight is working today.
They go nearby, sort of around the corner on another main road, which I'm sorry, I can't remember.
No, that's
the name
all right. The PTV app, if you put the exact address in or something, will get tell you how many paces to walk and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and it's set back, like I said.
Not assuming anyone's ability or anything like that.
Sorry. It's set back off the main street. As you get onto Barrow Road, you'll see a kindergarten to your left in the front of the venue, and a tennis court to your right. Just walk in, you'll see the big sign that says Barry Road Community Activity Centre, and you're there.
You're there, yep. Just behind the kindergarten, next to the tennis courts, set back from the main road, as it says on the flyer. And we've got to thank some of your great partners, the Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council, and I'll always say hello to another fabulous Maria, Paolti Chiaroli, and the team there, and also City of Whittlesea. Is there anyone else we need to thank as well?
All the people who give their time to our staff, the information stall, the facilitators for agreeing to come on board, but specifically AGMC. I mean, when I was getting bullied at Pronya Greek Community Organisation, Maria Paolti Chiaroli called me and she said, "Hey, I've seen you speak. Would you like to put your story in Living and Loving in Diversity, our book?" And I said no and hung up. 10 minutes later, I'd written my story. I rang her back. I said, "Here you go." She said, "Did you write that on the spot?" I said, "Yes." So these are kind of like a follow-on from being involved in Living and Loving Diversity. I was the former secretary of AGMC, travelled all around Australia with Maria Paolti Chiaroli, doing writers' festivals, a feast writers' festival, Winter Blooming, had incredible opportunities. So this is what I've done with the opportunity to be part of the AGMC book, Living and Loving in Diversity, and keeping it going. So thank you very, very much to AGMC, with particular thanks to Maria Paolti Chiaroli, an amazing ally. Indeed. And just one of the best people that I've met, really.
Hear. I think probably anyone who's ever met Maria PC would probably say that. Maria Paolti, thank you so much. I wish we had more time to chat, but I think we've got it all covered. Have a wonderful day. If I don't see you there, I hope I can duck by. Quack quack. And keep up the good work. I'd love to have you in some other time to talk more about the book and other things. So we might have to see if we can sort that out before the sort of the end, at least the end of the year. But maybe if not, let's hope we'll get there, 2026. Maria, thank you so much for your time on 3CR. Keep up your amazing work and passion. It is very, very much needed.
Thanks, Sally, and thanks for all your amazing work.
Thank you so much. We'll have some music now, and then I'll be chatting very soon to Ro Bright about the upcoming Tilda Trans and Gender Diverse Film Festival, 3CR, 8:55 a.m, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
I shall spray them so bold, so tall. Just you wait till I read this one. Yeah.
LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day will be held in the City of Whittlesea this year. Funded by Whittlesea City Council and auspiced by Australian LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Multifaith Council, the fair will have a strong human rights, social justice focus as experienced through an intersectional lens. The event is held in a safe, supportive, inclusive space consisting of art and skills-based workshops by Street Art Doyle Blender Studio, African drumming, recycled fashion and sustainable gardening, information stalls, food and giveaways. The LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day, Saturday, November 8th, 3:30 till 7:30pm at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. On-site parking available, entry is free and all are welcome. Whittlesea City Council is a 3CR supporter.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Digital3cr.org.au 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Here we are heading, springing towards summer in the southern hemisphere of the world. And we just heard from MySex, because we can, Graffiti Crimes from their greatest hits 1979 to 85, also because we can. Well, queer arts, queer culture, it's all there. Well done to all the queer artists in Fringe, which is wrapping up today. But there's another type of queer, particularly trans sort of arts coming up very, very soon. And that is the fabulous Tilda, the Trans and Gender Diverse Film Festival. And on the line to talk about it with me, if the computer deities are working, is Ro Bright from Tilda. Ro, welcome back to 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It is good to have you. You're on the Zooms, as we say. And I could just check in two things. Which pronoun do you use, if any, if it's okay to ask, and which Aboriginal lands you are on at this time?
Yes, thank you. My pronouns are they, them, and I am on the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung lands.
Good to have you back. Tilda is just becoming, said it last year, I'm easily say it again, and I'll keep saying it for as long as it keeps happening. Tilda's just such a wonderful part now of the trans and gender diverse and queer communities in Melbourne. A fabulous film festival. I always lose track. Where are we up to? Which one are we up to now?
We're up to year 11. So last year was our 10th anniversary, and this year we're edition 11, which is very exciting.
Yep. So I feel like a bingo caller, legs 11, but we won't go there. And the theme is Bites Back. Now, that's a very important theme at the moment, but I'll get you to put it in your words as to what it's meaning for Tilda this year.
Well, it's a fun thing in the fact that we're opening on Halloween. So there's a little bit of playfulness around kind of also our trans obsession with horror, because that's a big part, I think, of genre form that we engage with. But it's also, you know, it's been a year of so many people speaking on behalf of our community. And it's been a year of, you know, everyone telling us what we are and who we are and all that. So I think for us, it's an opportunity that it's, you know, we kind of classed as, you know, a little bit of a town hall opportunity where it's, again, entirely all trans and gender diverse filmmakers, community. It's our chance to kind of speak and to talk and to be a bit irreverent and bite back and have some fun with it.
Well, absolutely, we need to. I think that I wish I could say otherwise, but our queer listeners, and particularly trans, will know a lot about this very, very much. So how is, Tilda going to go about this? Throw some of the details in for us.
Sorry, could you just repeat the question?
So how is Tilda going to bite back? How is Tilda going to bite back do things for trans people?
I think it's in our festival, we work quite intentionally around our programming and our curation and the people that we all bring together in the room. So for us, a big part and what the theme came out of actually was when we put all the program together of what the films were talking about and what were filmmakers wanting to say, in particular our final film, We Are Pat. How it was, a lot of these works were kind of having big conversations about how do we deal with problematic content, how do we speak for ourselves, how do we engage with as a community to deal with things that can be problematic or controversial. And I think because that's what was kind of placed on the table for the films themselves, what we've done as a festival is tried to put around those films opportunities to bring community together to talk about the industry, to talk about kind of what's the key issues that have happened in the past year. We've also created commissions that allow space for people to bite back or speak back to the things that are important to them with our digital content that happens throughout the festival. So it's been kind of an opportunity really just to put in the space and in the room those voices and those conversations. And I think by putting it all together, it's our opportunity to kind of have a bigger conversation, which is our way to bite back.
Yep, which is what we need. The thing is, you've got a couple of great things going on. You have you're honouring the fabulous Lily Wachowski, who is the festival's auntie, aka patron. In one sense, you could say an obvious choice, but again, I'll get you to put it in your words. What made you want to get Lily along? Some people will be aware of Lily's, obviously, of some of Lily's work, or much of it. But, what specifically, as I say, in your words, and how did you manage to get her? That's pretty awesome too. So please tell us about it.
I know. Well, what's so wonderful is Lily's got a long connection with Australia because The Matrix was shot here.
Indeed.
So it was just really wonderful opportunity that one of the amazing actors, Belinda McClory, who was in The Matrix and is also a friend and an amazing supporter of trans artists. Belinda was able to kind of make that connection between us and Lily. And it's been a long conversation over the last year with Lily, because one of the things that not only is she a phenomenal filmmaker who has made some of the most iconic characters and films of all time, what she's really done in the last decade is she has become an executive producer and producer on so many young filmmakers, trans filmmakers' work, particularly in the US and the UK. We actually had one film last year, Dismantle Me by Max Disgrace, which was produced by Lily. This year we have We Are Pat, which is executive produced by Lily. So she's actually been a huge instigator and spearheading the kind of development of trans cinema in the past decade. So it's also kind of, not only is it just, as her as a filmmaker, a huge inspiration to community, she is literally supporting an entire new wave of artists and community. So I think our support and wanting to celebrate her as a filmmaker really comes from all the work that she's advocating and how she's encouraging an entire new wave of artists, which I think is one of the most incredible gifts as a filmmaker that she has done to community, is to literally increase and develop the voices across North America, which is incredible. So we're incredibly honoured to be able to celebrate her, and we'll have a commissioned illustration from Aspital that we will share with Lily. And she's been sending us messages and stuff that we will be sharing during the festival, which is just a wonderful way to connect between both countries. And she's also sharing with us some of the things that are happening over there, which is, you know, incredibly challenging and very, very difficult. So we also just want to honour the community there as well during this time.
Definitely, definitely so. You know, challenging times, indeed, challenging stuff. Just before I go on, I do have to acknowledge a message from the first half of the program, which I overlooked in sort of juggling interviews and things, from Panagiota Apollonia, who'd heard Maria Bololi's story, who just says, first time here, Sally, sorry to hear about Maria's story, and says that she has, which I don't know the person's pronouns, Panagiota said, I have travelled to Greece and see modern-day Greece much more progressive, along with the Greek diaspora in Melbourne that was caught in a time warp, but has evolved significantly too with subsequent generations, with many Greeks now respecting the history of ancient Greece and links to homosexuality. She's been to many gay weddings in the Greek islands, and the Greek church has also officiated gay weddings. So, yeah, I think that is a point that we need to make, that there can be progress. And I'll link that back to our conversation. One of the things he discussed is how we can, well, still try to make progress. I don't think it's good enough that we hold ground in these times. Will the festival be having those sorts of discussions, in line with, in conjunction with, you know, sort of, post-screening, those sort of post-screening panel discussions that sometimes happen at festivals?
Oh, I definitely think so. As part of our afternoon tea, we've kind of reached out to a couple of our filmmakers and key industry leaders to kind of be able to bring whatever they need to speak or, you know, bring to the table. So I really think that there'll be conversations not only about, I guess, I think because we're trying to work beyond visibility, where we're now talking about how are we not only telling our stories, but how are we engaging with the wider kind of political context? Because we've, as a community and filmmakers, there's been this huge development of work over the last couple of years, and now there's this incredible backlash. And what does that mean? And how do we continue to support each other to make work and ensure that all the groundwork that has been made in order for our stories to be told, that that is not lost? So I think there'll be quite a few conversations that folks will have. We are having Rowan Hubbard from We Are Pat is coming to Tilda to be a part of the festival. So no doubt there'll be quite a few conversations, I think, about what's going on and how are we as a community responding and how are we supporting each other.
Yep. Yeah, so I think, which is, you know, very, very important. So that's one film. What's another one that's on that you wanted to, or any others that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I always love to talk about our future, which is our local filmmakers. I think there's been such a huge growth in filmmaking here in Naarm, and I'm very proud that we've got Journey's End by Linus Tolliday. That's their world premiere that we'll be sharing. Which is always exciting because last year we had Black Trans Miracle by Tanae Nate, and that film went on from Tilda to do a lot of the international queer film festival circuit. So we're very proud of our world premieres because that really gives us an opportunity to highlight a local filmmaker. And it's a beautiful, really kind of stunning short, all shot in black and white. And there's some really beautiful kind of references that they bring into their work, which is really interesting. We also have, it's been a great year for horror and kind of sci-fi work. So with Sam Carson's Emil Is Missing, has done so many film festivals around the world. It's just been at Adelaide International Film Festival and will be coming to us. And we also have a couple of films from Aotearoa that has come into the mix as well. So cool. It's kind of this opportunity to cross-form between New Zealand and Australia, which I think is really important. And I'm really, really proud of our collaboration with Sapphic Flicks, which is our First Nations filmmakers, and our opening night, where we're going to do a bit of a surprise screening. You won't know what we're doing until that night. But the main purpose of this night is really our opening, is really to bring people together. Because what we've discovered in the past year is that there's been a huge, you know, wash of work that we've all been doing as a community, but we've also been working all very, very hard, and we've not had much time to stop, connect and ideate and look at what we want to make in the future. So again, that our opening night is actually going to be more about connecting, having conversations, looking at how we build commissions as a festival, and how do we support First Nations trans filmmaking, which is very, very central and important to us as a festival. So I'm really excited for that, and excited for our local filmmakers and our collaborations with all of our teams, like with Gay 24, who have our Saturday night session, which will be hilarious and amazing, bringing some Italian softcore content from a kind of hidden gem to Australia, which will be very, very sexy and very, very funny. It's going to be, that one is an absolute treat. And I adore Jenny and Sam, who run Gay 24. They have an incredible curatorial talent that I'm always stoked when we get to work with them.
Eva Man, the Love Machine, a journey of the perils of technology as they fight off a gang of spiteful heterosexual gangsters to live to love another day. I love it. That sounds amazing. Sunday night, you've got the fabulous Snuff Puppets. We love Snuff Puppets. I spoke to one of the lovely people from them just a few weeks ago on the show. Tell us what have you got in mind with the fabulous Snuffers?
Oh, I love the Snuffers. I worked with the team for 4 years as executive director, and one of the proudest projects that we did there was Cochlear, which was this giant inflatable which told trans stories. And so I love working there. And they're at the moment doing this wonderful saloon series once a month where lots of different artists are coming together. And it's just... The Drill Hall is an amazing space where everyone can just kind of let go and be themselves, which for this particular session, for the Pat Double Bill, we really wanted to create a space where everyone could just rock up, be themselves, just kind of feel comfortable to move around, feel really comfortable to just relax and, you know, just completely feel like they could come and go and, you know, just be... in an opportunity just to beat all together, like as if we're all in each other's lounge, essentially. So we're going to be setting up the screen with the Snuffies, and we'll be screening We Are Pat by Ro Harbour, which is just fascinating. It's the story of the character Pat from SNL, which in the 90s was this huge, very popular character in Saturday Night Live, but the character or the joke was entirely based off the fact of no one could tell what gender Pat was. So every sketch was people trying to guess if they were male or female. And Pat never let anyone know what their gender was. And it was something that was like deeply inspiring to trans or non-binary folks, because it was like one of our first representations. But at the same time, everyone was laughing at Pat. So it was also really hurtful. So, and it was made into a feature film in the 90s, It's Pat. And so that film is notoriously 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a terrible film. And so now there's been kind of a whole discussion was brought up about the Pat character in the last 5 to 10 years. And while we were kind of in cancel culture and a lot of call outs, and Rowan as a director kind of went back and grabbed all of their mates, all kind of amazing comedians, to really kind of have a conversation about this character and, you know, how do we as a community deal with problematic things that also inspired us because we saw ourselves within it. And so it's this beautiful documentary that kind of pulls that all apart. And we'll have Rowan here. And so we're going to kind of watch the documentary. We're going to have a whole lot of kind of like fun entertainment, free food, kind of lots of things to kind of on theme with Pat. And then we're going to watch the original 90s movie, It's Pat, afterwards, so that you get the full Pat experience. I think it'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be, I think, really inspiring and hopefully just a great space that everyone can kind of hang out with their mates and feel connected.
Cool. You know, I think I'm going to do a quick digression. We are running out of time, but I want to ask you about this. I mean, a lot of the documented history of trans communities, whether film or otherwise, you know, look, the language isn't great. I remember a few years ago there was debate about the Lou Reed song, which was seen as a bit of a kind. When it emerged, a trans classic. And then people said, no, you can't play it anymore because it uses the words "then he was a she." And, you know, look, it's not ideal by today's standards, but it's still there as a trans classic. How does, you can either answer for yourself or from the point of view of Tilda, how does Tilda deal with those sorts of issues? Because I think it's one we need to get a framework on so we can acknowledge our history, even if perhaps the way things were talked about weren't perfect.
Well, that's what I really love about films like Disclosure, which is on Netflix, which was a real big conversation from, you know, largely from trans voices and trans actors about these representations. And then I feel like We Are Pat does a similar thing where it's this opportunity that, because I feel like it's kind of like we all need to be in a room and to talk out all of the different things because we all have such different experiences or reactions. Some of these representations are deeply hurtful for some people. It's they see themselves, and so for the first time they're able to go, oh, you know, I exist. And so I think it's kind of like an ongoing conversation and reimagining of these representations, and the more and more trans people are the directors, the writers, and they're the creative control behind these storytellings and reimaginings, the more and more it's becoming authentic, and the more and more we're able to sit with those challenging past representations and be able to feel comfortable and acknowledge them, because those are not the only representations out there. We actually have all of our own personal representations against it as well.
Yep. All right. Look, we are unfortunately out of time, Ro. I wish we had more time to talk, but just if people want to find out about the festival, how do they find out about more details of what's going on and all the films and events and discussions, and where do you buy from? How do you get tickets to Tilda?
Yes, so you can either go to our website, so tilda.org.au, otherwise, you can go to the Footscray Community Arts website, which is where you can actually buy the tickets from as well. And so they have a full listing of each of our events. So we have essentially six sessions that you can buy tickets for. Two of our sessions are free too. So and they're all also very low cost. So they're really good prices, you know, $15 max. So come find us online and grab a ticket.
Sounds good to me. Ro, thanks so much for your time on 3CR today. Again, all the best for the festival. And, hopefully I can squeak along at some point on that. On the time. Well, it's conveniently the events happen on the weekend before we say nup to the cup. So people hopefully will have time to get along and see. Well, maybe that's about the only, with respect to freedom of species coming up next, which today talks about animals and language, part two. That's about the only good thing I can think of. That's the only thing maybe that Melbourne Cup weekend does. It gives a lot of people a long weekend to do other things. Ro, thanks once so much. We'll leave it there. And I have to make way for Freedom of Species. Take it out today with a track from Dire Straits' album, Makin' Movies. And, the trans community might be attacked, but we're still, well, dare I say, a solid rock. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
already know the harms of Australia's offshore detention regime, and yet instead of closing down that offshore processing regime, the Albanese government is seeking to expand it.
3CR, your station, your voice.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.